Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Guess
good.
We're getting a little closer to our course in Phoenix.
Just around the corner. I want to remind listeners about the course.
Yeah, March 5th through 7th, Arizona Academy of Family Physicians annual meeting. Don't have to be an Arizona family doc to attend. It's a great meeting. We're going to be covering the top poems of the past few years. John Hickner, chair of family medicine at the Cleveland Clinic, and Steve Brown are going to be joining the two of us as the faculty for the course. Should be a lot of fun, great weather, great place for golf and sitting by the pool. And we're also going to be repeating the course April 16th through 18th in Athens, Georgia. So if you can't make it to Phoenix, hopefully you can join us in Athens.
No finer place than Athens, Georgia in the spring.
Absolutely. I never knew spring was a pleasant time. Having grown up in Canada and Michigan, I thought March and April were just horrible. And so it's really quite nice down here.
Good. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to meeting some of the listeners. This week we're going to talk about dementia, a common disorder characterized by the impairment of memory in at least one cognitive domain, specifically aphasia, apraxia, agnosia, or executive functions. These must represent a decline from previous levels. As we all know, this is a dreaded disease. It costs Americans huge amounts of money to take care of the people with various causes of dementia. In fact, the cost of caring for one person with this disorder at home or in a nursing home is now estimated to be over $50,000 a year. Advances in the understanding of pathophysiology of dementing illness has changed somewhat in the and it's reflected in the management of patients. Unfortunately, there is no cure. There are only medications that help us manage patients better from a conservative symptomatic approach. Of course, the mainstay of management is still treating these symptoms. For example, treatment of behavioral disturbance, changing the environment to allow people to function more normally, and counseling both with regard to the patient and also caring for the family unit. Nearly 60% of patients with advanced dementia will end up at some point in a SNF, a skilled nursing facility. What do we know about the clinical course of these patients? Well, we don't know a great deal. This week, we're going to look at a poem published in the New England Journal of Medicine that helps us answer the clinical question, what is the course of patients with advanced dementia who end up residing in a nursing home? What did the authors find, Mark?
Well, this was, I think, not a terribly complex study, but I think there were some really important messages in there for those of us who care for older adults and particularly adults in the nursing home and their families. The authors found 323 residents at 22 nursing homes, and they followed them for 18 months. All of these patients had severe dementia. They had a cognitive performance scale of 5 or 6, where 6 is worst, and it corresponds to a mini mental state score, which, if we recall, goes from 0 to 30, of 5 or worse. Typically, these patients couldn't recognize family, minimal verbal communications. They were often incontinent, unable to ambulate independently, so a very profoundly demented group of patients. They did chart reviews. They did examinations of the patients. They interviewed nurses all on a quarterly basis for 18 months. And the mean age of these patients was 85 years, and they'd been in a nursing home for a median of about 3 years. So during the period, just over half of the patients died, and the median survival was about 16 months, and one quarter of the patients died within 6 months. Patients who had a history of pneumonia, who had a febrile episode, or had trouble eating were more likely to die, so no real surprise there. Dyspnea was present in 46%, pain at least 5 days a month in 39%, same with agitation, and aspiration was seen in 41%. And all these symptoms became more common as time went on. Here's the really key message, I think, for the 177 patients who died. During the last 3 months of life, 29% received some kind of parenteral IV therapy, 12% were hospitalized, and 7% underwent tube feeding.
Wow.
When they talked to family, they found that caregivers and family who didn't really have a realistic understanding of their family members' really grim prognosis were more likely to want to order these burdensome and frankly inappropriate interventions.
It seems to me it's a failure of the system at many levels. I mean, clearly these patients were getting much more aggressive care than was, you know, realistic. But was it the family? Was it that nobody had ever had a conversation with these patients early in the illness or before the illness even started? It seems to me, though, that if we're talking about $50,000 a year as the average that we're spending per year for someone to be in a nursing home, clearly with some of the interventions that you're talking about, it's going to be much more than that, and not only from a cost perspective, but from a quality of life perspective. You know, I mean, you know, parenteral therapy and tube feeding, and you know, none of this is fun. And is this really what the family and the patients wanted?
Well, you know, obviously we don't know exactly what the patients wanted in many of these cases, and I think often, you know, as you know, there are many factors going into these family decisions. I bet in many cases it really wasn't adequately addressed, particularly early, and you just kind of get that slippery slope. And you know, hopefully the Obama death panels can put an end to this kind of thing, right?
Well, the other thing is to ask the question: at what point does something become a terminal illness, and that these patients really need to be managed not by hospitalists who may be more aggressive, but by hospice doctors?
Right, and unfortunately with dementia, you know, as you said, there aren't great data on being able to predict the prognosis, and, you know, while half of these patients died, I was actually kind of surprised that almost half were still alive 18 months later, as profoundly demented and ill as they were. So it is difficult to predict when they're in that terminal 3-month, 1-month, 6-month phase. A related study, actually, in the same batch of poems, we're not going to go into detail, but also looked at nursing home residents and renal failure, and they found that only 1 in 8 nursing home residents were stable or improved a year after initiating dialysis. So most of the patients where you in the nursing home, you initiate dialysis, 7 out of 8 continue to decline, and really actually had a more rapid decline short term, but then that stabilized. So for most patients, that was probably not a great choice, and more vigorous attempts at rehabilitation or low-protein diets or things like that ought to be attempted first.
Right, so maybe the take-home message here for both of those studies is that just a reminder that all of us need to do a better job of talking to our patients and obtaining their values and their wishes while they're healthy, and then to help them communicate those wishes to families so that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, but the families are bringing those values, and we have to listen to that, but also they bring, I think in many cases, misconceptions. There have been several studies, large surveys. I think the recent one, over 2,000 patients were asked, and they thought that the rate of survival to discharge following CPR was 54%. And so that was sort of their average guess, and it's actually closer to 10 to 20% in all hospitalized patients. So they tend to overestimate. And, you know, TV, there have been studies on TV. There was one of 3 TV shows and showed that almost 70% of patients who were all healthy, young, and beautiful survived to hospital discharge after CPR. So it's our job to make sure patients understand what the realistic prognosis is for some of these conditions.
Right, absolutely. Well, thanks, Mark. A good discussion. We'll talk with you again next week, and look for listeners at our course in Arizona, and if they can't come to Arizona, hopefully to Athens, Georgia.
All right, looking forward to it. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.